This is Cruise Control.
Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
On the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Cruise Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
That's right. You are on Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. Fred and Les in the Cruise Control van, wobbly wheels, but that's okay because we've got a lot of automotive news to tell you about. And Les, it's, a nameplate fading away into history. That's what we're going to start with.
Yes, that is very true. In fact, I have one this week. The Scion nameplate will fade into history. But first, one last model, and then what will Toyota call Scion's old models?
Yeah, a lot of them are going to continue on. We'll tell you which ones and what they'll be called. And here's a question for you, Les. Will black chrome lead to more sales at Cadillac? Cadillac apparently is having a hard time selling its great ATS and great CTS cars. But will black chrome mean more sales? What do you think?
Good question. Well, you know, I think it's got an appeal. We'll talk about it. But besides that, we're going to talk about other things, such as is the new Civic hatchback the sportiest Honda ever, or perhaps a callback to a less successful model?
Well, I had to look back when they did a four-door hatch last time, and I came up with the name Honda Cross Tour. Not one of their more successful models.
No, not a biggie.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And they may not be old enough to drive yet, but what does Generation Z want when it comes to cars? These are people 17 and younger. We have the results of an interesting Kelley Blue Book study, and it's one that's got automakers kind of excited.
That's true. And we're going to talk tech, because we try to do that every single show. Chevy's Silverado gives you an option to start your own trailering TV network.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about that. We'll explain that one. Yep. Plus,
how would, even for people with me with a radio face?
Well, I don't know if you necessarily be on camera. Other things may be on camera. But we're going to continue. Red Bull and Aston Martin have announced this week they're going to team up to build a supercar. Red Bull, yep, the energy drink people. They've got a lot going on. They also have a new take on that protection halo for Formula One cars. All that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Don't fret because we are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, find out about the podcast edition. It's all there. cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Right there. The links are right there. Go right there and you can check it out. Fred and Les, we will be right back. We're going to get started with plenty of stories, including that Scion story about the nameplate going away. So stay tuned. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. It's us guys, Les and Fred here. We're in the van, which is not being renamed, but the Scion.
The van remains the same.
That is correct. Anyway, Scion's going away, but First, they're releasing their another model, or actually a, well, they're going to release a Series 10.0, Racy 10.0. The TC goes away.
Mm. Well, this one is kind of their, you know how they release all their special edition Scions, you know, to
right.
get interest limited edition. There's only going to be 1,200 of these. The RS 10.0. It's going to get some cool stuff. TRD lowering springs, TRD performance dual exhaust, 6-speed manual will be included in the price. Not real different when it comes to the engine. It's still going to be the same 2.5 liter 479 horsepower. But it does get this cool body kit and kind of black wheels and red. That's a combination you can never go wrong with. And this will be the last New York Auto Show for Scion. Pretty big news. Remember when they premiered, they had all those parties, and it was a lifestyle yeah. vehicle. And you basically would buy, they wanted you to spend about $6,000 on accessories to make your car a custom car. But it seems like the people that bought them were just looking for another deal, and they thought, well, this is sort of like another Toyota, right?
Well, exactly. It just came off really as an entry-level Toyota
mm-hmm.
To the people, and instead of being something that the young would sort of embrace
mm-hmm.
the way the 60s generation embraced the Beetle.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good car, and it's cheap,
mm-hmm.
but it just doesn't seem to have the personality that it should have.
Yeah, I mean, they came out with the XB, of course. That was their boxy vehicle, and that kind of started the whole boxy revolution. It brought out the Kia Soul, and do you remember the Nissan version? The Cube. Remember that? The Cube?
Yeah, the Cube.
Yeah, it had, I had one of those, and it looked like someone's toupee was left on the dashboard. It was like a little fuzzy thing to put your phone on, I guess, or something. I don't know.
But that's true. And interestingly, since 2004, Dodge has consistently beaten the Scion brand in young new vehicle customers. And that's remarkable.
Yeah. I remember getting the XB, and a lot of people, the young folks, didn't really like it. I did a little survey, but the older folks thought it made sense because a box you can put a lot of things into. So maybe their whole concept was wrong here. But a lot of their newer models are going to live on as Toyotas. The Scion FRS, which I think is a great car. Rear-wheel drive, very sporty. What a first car that would be for somebody, huh?
It's terrific. Of course, that's the twin with the Subaru BRZ.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't buying them with either brand.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
I don't either. And, you know, I was talking about this last night at our annual Washington Automotive Press gala.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that reviews cars said the same thing. We don't understand why people aren't buying these things.
Yep. Well, anyway, the FRS, the formerly known Scion FRS, will be going under the kind of global name at Toyota, Toyota 86. Now, 86 really means nothing.
I don't know.
To me or anyone.
Well, 86 means 86 means to get rid of something.
Oh, like 86 it.
Yeah, 86 it.
Like Nova in Spanish meant no go.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, wow. There's that name. They have the IA sedan, which is the Mazda 2. Good little car. That's going to be called the Toyota Yaris IA, and the compact IM hatchback will be known as the Corolla IM.
Yeah, now that makes sense. I have the IM outside right now.
Mm. And then the upcoming CHR compact crossover is just going to become a Toyota. They're still going to do it, and they will show that concept at the New York show. So life after Scion, life goes on. You know, it's sad, but it's kind of a sad thing, I think, to see any brands go. I mean, we went through it with Oldsmobile and Pontiac and to a lesser extent, Hummer and a bunch of others. It's sad, though. It's a lot of history goes away. Plymouth. But so it goes in the world of automobilia. Fred and Les, we will be right back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Don't forget, we are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. We'll be right back. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at cruisecontrolrad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept a cooking.
What a Latin. Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. I'm glad you're along for the ride. Boy, do we have a lot of automotive news for you. A lot of things going on. Moving and shaking, Les. Moving and shaking right here on Cruise Control Radio. You like to move and shake, don't you?
Oh, listen, I am Mr. Rhythm.
Okay. Well, what was that old saying? If it doesn't go, chrome it?
Yes. If it doesn't run, chrome it. That was the hot rodding slogan.
Approach. Well, here's the thing. Do you think that will work for Cadillac this time? Of course, Cadillac's always had a lot of chrome, but now Cadillac has an idea to spark sales of the ATS and CTS. These are both great cars. Wonderful cars. I've driven both of them, including that twin turbocharged version of the Cadillac ATS, which is outstanding. But apparently they're not selling that well, right?
Well, they're sort of priced a little high to start with.
Well, we know who did that. Their leader,
yes,
believes.
Yes, we do.
If it's more expensive.
Frankly, I think that's why they're not selling well.
But yeah.
It's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, now they have a theory that black chrome will change all that. It's a $595 package on the ATS Coupe, $795 on the ATS Sedan, and about $1,095 to $1,295 on the CTS. They get black chromed accented grills, black dark finish, 18-inch alloy wheels, among other upgrades. So if it's cost too much already, adding another $500 to $1,200 is not going to help, is it?
Well, it won't unless these things are strikingly pretty. Now, you'll see them next week at the New York Auto Show.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. If they do go along with their current TV commercials where it's the urban environment and the cars are cruising through. And
mm-hmm.
But somehow I just don't think this is going to spark a lot of sales.
Yeah. You know, they have kind of a high upgrade for their tinted clear coat paints. Like they have a Red Obsession tint coat. This is where the clear coat is tinted red, gives it almost like a candy look. It's very, very cool. Normally that's about $400 extra. This time around, it's almost $1,000, $995.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the pricing, my friend. I really do.
I do too.
You know, it's someone said that they bought a CTS and they went back the next year to get the newer model. They liked the redesign, and it was $15,000 more for the same equipment. That's a big jump.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. So we will see what happens with that. And now here's another interesting story up from Honda. Honda is showing their Civic hatchback. Four-door hatchback. They say it is the sportiest car they've ever made. It's got pretty aggressive front end on it, wouldn't you say, Les?
Very aggressive front end. It actually looks like a coupe.
It does look like a coupe. Now,
and yet, you know, coupes, as you know, are stupidly impractical.
Right.
if you have any friends.
That's right.
But this is four doors, but it looks like a coupe, and I really like the looks of this. Normally, Civics are sort of pedestrian looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is very appealing.
Well, it went on sale, in Europe in early, or will go on sale in Europe in early 2017. It will be offered with a 1 liter three cylinder turbo engine and a four cylinder 1.5 liter turbo. That would be the big block, Les.
Yes. Well,
the 1.5 liter.
That's what the twin four barrels.
Exactly. Cram as much fuel into that 1.5 liter mill as you can. But, you know, there has always been a problem selling these four-door hatchbacks in the U.S. For some reason, U.S. people don't like hatchbacks. And I came up with two names. I had to actually dig for these names, both Honda products or Honda-related products. The Honda CrossTour and the Acura ZDX. These were four-door hatchbacks, and they did terribly. I think they built them for, what, 2-3 years? Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
Probably only two, as near as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And they just sit there.
Yeah.
Which I don't get it. Well,
do you think that could be the same fate for this car?
Well, I don't think so, because let's face it, if you look at this thing in a showroom, you're going to be drawn to it.
Mm-hmm. Because of that aggressive front end, that you've got a lot of styling creases in the side. You've got kind of a bulging fenders up front and in the quarter panels as well. You've got a skirt around the edge of it. You know,
you would never know this thing is a hatchback.
Yeah. Maybe it's the guy that needs the four-door sedan but wants something a little bit more racy, right?
That's true. And I honestly don't know why people don't like hatchbacks. They're incredibly practical, more practical, frankly, than most other models.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They don't look bad. This thing looks terrific.
Yeah. Well, maybe does it go back to the early days? I mean, I had a hatchback that had a problem with water. No matter what, I put a new gasket on it, which made it better. But when I first got it, it was leaking water like crazy whenever it rained. And, you know, it took a while to get it tuned in. I had to adjust how the hatch sat in the opening and put a new gasket on, and then eventually I stopped the torrent of water that would come in when it
yeah,
would rain.
But, you know, these things are made
much better
by robots now. They're, you know, they're pretty foolproof.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know. I think it's just the public's taste.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. This is the third model in Honda's global Civic lineup. Last year's launch of the sedan and the two-door coupe. So this is the triple play for Honda on the Civic, and we'll see how well it does for sure. Hey, coming up, when we come back, we're going to talk a little tech about Silverado with this cool trailering camera option that they're offering. We also got an interesting study about Gen Z that's 17 and below. What do they think about cars, and will they be buying one? And car makers were pretty happy with the results when they heard about it. So we'll talk about that on Cruise Control Radio when we come back. Fred and Les, stay tuned, stay buckled up. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Standing on the throttle. Standing on the brakes, in a groove till you make a mistake. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Cruise Control.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Les and Fred here. We're in the van, and now we're going to explain everything you ever needed to know about the generations.
For generations.
10 seconds. But... Well, and that's because there's a new generation out there called Gen Z, age 0 to 17. Well, you can't be age 0.
No, you always...
I mean, you're like, you know, an hour. But,
yeah.
But nonetheless, kids, not even out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the car companies are already looking at these people, wondering, hey, are they going to be interested in buying a car or even driving a car? So
yeah,
our friends at Kelley Blue Book have done a study.
Yep. Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader, both Cox Automotive companies, they conducted a study. As always, before we give the study, we talk about the sample group. It was a survey of 3,000 respondents. About 1,200 of them were in the 12 to 17-year-old age. So to me, that means if, you and I were interested in cars when we were probably 3 or 4 years old. I know I was.
Oh, sure. Sure.
But I guess the interest gets more intense as you get older because you realize it is a possibility that you, yes, may own a car and, yes, may get a driver's license. So about 1,200 of that, those 3,000 were 12 to 17-year-olds. And that youngest generation currently makes up about 23% of the population.
And that's a big percentage.
It is. And this is even a bigger number, Les. The purchasing power is expected to reach $3.2 trillion by 2020. Not that far away. That's a lot of chips. A lot of chips.
That's huge. That's 4 years.
So here are some of the differences. You know, millennials, apparently, millennials were not the fans of cars We can't paint with a big brush because we actually had a millennial on last week who is the product manager for Kia, and he is certainly a car guy, certainly just like you and I. So, but apparently Gen Z folks are far more budget conscious than the millennials. They're watching their dollars, and nearly 60% of the Gen Z consumer survey prefer to save money over spending it. They're concerned about student loan debt, the economy, unemployment, and poverty. Kind of just gives you the idea of where we're at in the country right now.
Yeah, this is a big surprise to me for two reasons. First, I've paid attention to a lot of millennial people, and they tend to be they don't tend to spend out of their earnings. Mm-hmm. They spend everything they've got, mm-hmm. and they're very concerned about their future financially, but they don't tend to live beyond their means. Now we have the Gen Z who are kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're taking driver training classes in school,
right?
And these people are already conservative in their spending habits, thinking about saving money.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 17, all I cared about was how I could ask the girl out on a date, and terrified that she'd say no.
Now these guys are worried about debt that they haven't even incurred yet from school and getting a job. So, well, it's a lot more competitive, I guess, and it's not a bad thing to be concerned about that. You know, you're kind of mapping out your
life. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I did own my own car when I was 14.
Mm-hmm. I think I was a little behind you. 15 was for me, but I listened to the radio.
Oh, well, see, you were a rookie.
That's right. Well, here's some more interesting news, and here's the good stuff for the automakers. 92% of Gen Z respondents own or plan to own a vehicle. 97% have or plan to get a driver's license, the study found. I've had a lot of millennial parents say, oh, my kid doesn't want their license, they're 25. And we always said, well, we got it as soon as we could, 16 or whatever the rule was wherever you live. 72% said they would be willing to go without social media for 1 year if it meant they could own a car.
That's remarkable. Finally, there's a glimmer of hope that the young people are going to start taking their faces out of their cell phones.
Well, there's another statistic coming up. This next one, of course, 60% said they would give up new clothes. And listen to this, Les. 33% said they would part with their cell phones for a year to have a car.
Yay!
And here's,
I'm liking this generation more and more.
Exactly. The benefits of ownership far outweigh the benefits of car sharing, according to this sample group. And vehicle ownership is more tailored to their needs. It's more convenient and flexible. So what does this mean for manufacturers? It means they will be getting some new customers, and they will be buying as opposed to sharing. They also like some of the traditional brands like Ford and Toyota and others like that. And they're gravitating away from Audi, BMW, and Mercedes, what the millennials have gone to. They like Ford, Chevrolet, Honda, Toyota, brands like that. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it is. And also safety is very, very important to the Gen Zs, as opposed to baby boomers and Gen X. Only 11% of Gen X and 9% of us baby boomers valued safety. We didn't even know what safety was.
Safety was hold on tight if you're going to get into an accident.
Don't crash.
We are talking about the Kelley Blue Book Auto Trader study done about Gen Z. And interesting, a lot of interesting things. More than half of the Gen Z respondents said fully self-driving vehicles are appealing, and nearly half want most cars to drive themselves in the next decade. But that desire is driven by safety. 61% said they think safe self-driving vehicles would make the road safer. 45% said it would ease their concerns about distracted driving. And 41% said self-driving vehicles would prevent accidents. So new means they're going to have to market to this group differently, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. But boy, you talk about a terrific opportunity for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They're going to have to develop a whole lot more entry-level cars.
Yeah, exactly. But entry-level, but with all the safety things in there. And
that's right.
We are seeing that trend already. So maybe automakers are on top of this already. But good study from the folks at Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader. Good deal. Always they have interesting takes on the world of automobiles and who's buying them. Hey, you want to talk a little tech, Les?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, announced this week, Chevy Silverado has a brand new trailering camera system. It's built by a company called EchoMaster. Integrates three cameras, one each on the truck's extended side view mirrors, and one that mounts on the back of the trailer. Gets its power from the trailer's lights. So, and communicates via Bluetooth. So in an equipped Silverado, the driver flicks the turn signal and the system displays the feed on the center monitor in the dashboard to all but eliminate blind spots created by the trailer. Pretty cool, isn't it?
It's great. So you have total visibility as if you've turned around in your seat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking back there.
And there's also a fourth camera available if you want to put it inside the trailer to keep an eye on livestock or whatever is back there. And there soon will be a fifth camera that goes in the center brake light to watch the bed's components and help with fifth wheel or gooseneck trailer hitching up. Not bad. Now, it's not cheap. It will be available for 2014 to 2016 Silverado HD trucks, as well as 1500 models with the towing mirrors, and it starts at $999. So it's not cheap, but if you tow a lot, you're towing a horse trailer or a race car or something like that, this could be really good for you, couldn't it?
I don't think $999 is that bad. You know, these Silverados are costing $40,000 to $50,000 anyway. You know, for another to improve your visibility by, you know, several hundred percent, that's kind of a bargain.
Remember a Talking Tech we talked about on Cruise Control a couple of months ago where Jaguar was basically making the trailer invisible because you'd look back and you would see the camera behind the trailer? Pretty cool of what's going on here. It's going to make trailering a lot more safe for everyone, and we like that. We like Talking Tech, too.
That's right.
Don't forget.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Check out the podcast. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Feeling a little dim? Don't blame your brain or the weather. Hazy headlights may be the problem. Hazed or cloudy plastic headlights can reduce your vehicle's visibility on the road, making it very difficult to see the road and for other cars to see you. Now you can restore plastic headlight lenses to like-new clarity with the Lens Renewal Kit from 3M, an easy-to-use solution for removing the yellowing and hazing that reduces headlight performance and visibility. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
I got a new car.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We're glad you're along for the ride. Don't forget we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out the podcast edition, all that and more at Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. We're glad you're here with us, and this is an interesting team-up. You know, we've been talking about team-ups on the show, Les, about Toyota and Honda and BMW and Chevy. They're all teaming up sometimes for technology or fuel cells or things like that. And that makes sense because they're all car manufacturers. But this one's a little bit different. It's Aston Martin and Red Bull.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, Red Bull is real big in the, in the NASCAR and
Formula
One.
Formula
One, you know, a lot of motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide. I mean, it's a huge brand.
Yep. Well, now they're going to build a supercar with Aston Martin, and they've released this highly detailed sketch, which just looks like a bunch of bumps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think that thing in the front is? I mean, I know our listeners can't see it, but normally you would have fenders and then a kind of a little cockpit, but it looks like there's a bump on the front of the car. I'm not quite sure. It looks sort of like a goose.
Sort of a wart.
Well, who knows what it is, but this is interesting because Aston Martin and Red Bull are going to build a super fast road car. It will link the UK automaker back to Formula One the first time since 1960. This was announced this week, this partnership.
Long time.
Hmm. Aston Martin's logo will appear on Red Bull's RB12 cars as part of a season-long deal. Red Bull's Adrian Newey, the sport's most acclaimed and successful designer, will work with Aston Martin's design boss, Marek Reichman, on the car, codenamed, and they could have come up with a better name, Project AM-RB-001.
Well, it's not hard to interpret that.
No.
But yes, they could have come, you know, why not just, you know, like
Project Red
Zephyr or something.
Yes.
Something. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But Formula One, you know, I mean, that's the epitome of racing.
Mm.
Aston Martin, tremendous heritage brand. So this could be the beginning of a winning streak for Aston Martin.
It sure could. And they were talking a little bit about this. It's been mentioned that Red Bull is a very cool brand. We attract a lot of attention from a lot of people, and a lot of people talk to us. And this is Palmer, who I don't see listed here, who Palmer is. Oh, Andy Palmer. Okay. Palmer, of course, is the CEO of Aston Martin. That's the Palmer they're talking about. We are kind of a cool brand. We attract a lot of attention from a lot of people, and a lot of people talk to us. This was in an interview for Motorsport.com on Thursday. We are all about authenticity. So when you get in an Aston, what looks like leather is leather. What looks like wood is wood. What looks like carbon is carbon. What sounds like a V12 engine is a V12 engine, and it doesn't have any hype on it. So authenticity was our number one concern here, and simply putting the sticker on the side of an F1 car was never going to cut it for us. So,
well, I agree.
So we know it will have a V12. That's about it. That's all we know at this point, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad to see they're in Formula One.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too. Another interesting...
I've applied for the team, you know.
You have? What was that like?
Well, they, you know, of course, with my grand heritage in the racing circuits, they said, we could use you. We need someone to wash the cars.
They're not even going to let you check air pressure?
Well, no, that's after an apprenticeship.
I see. While we're on Formula One, which we talk about a fair amount on Cruise Control Radio, it was revealed this week Red Bull has an alternative to that horrible halo that is terrible, that contraption that has a bar right in front of the driver for safety. But Red Bull has an alternative to it. This one looks pretty slick, doesn't it? It looks sort of like a Chris Craft wraparound windshield from cool speedboat. And it's got two small A-pillars to the side of the drivers. This is to prevent a driver from getting hit with debris or a wheel or anything like that. This seems to be a much better take on it than what the other guys were doing, right?
Well, it is. It's got to be one heck of a strong windscreen.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's like a canopy, but it's not, you know, obviously not with a roof on it. You bake in the car.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just seems almost like somebody decided to make something really practical.
Mm. Well, you remember the Ferrari one. It has that beam right in front of the driver, which would drive me crazy. Yeah, I'd always be moving to the left or right to look around it, you know?
It's really, I just don't get that.
Yeah. I don't get it either, and I think this one has much more of a possibility of happening real soon, because I just don't see the other one ever working. I think it would be just too annoying to people, right?
Well, I agree. I mean, why they would even allow that is beyond me.
Hey, we got a couple of interesting restoration stories to tell you about. Honda is doing a online series. It's going to follow the restoration of his first car it ever sold in the U.S., the N600. And there's a guy named Tim Mings. This is what he does. He's the only guy in the world that restores these things. And it's a two-cylinder car that can rev to 9,000 RPM, like a motorcycle engine, basically. Honda's going to do
it. Basically, what it was.
A great documentary of this. It's gonna be cool to watch online. That's one interesting one. And then there's a Ferrari that burned to the ground almost. This was a Ferrari 225e, beautiful car. The owner had it, and it basically burned to the ground. But he brought it back to Ferrari, and they have a classic department that did a comprehensive 2-year restoration on this car, and it looks beautiful. Look at the straightness of the panels in that.
It's spectacular. It was delivered new to Count Antonio Sterzi, who campaigned it in first in the Mille Miglia. That's the 1,000-mile rally-ish race. At one events like the Bolzano Mendola Hill Climb, the Coppa Inter Europea at Monza, then it was torched. I mean, not purposely.
No, but an Argentinian owner commissioned it, sent it back to Ferrari, and had them redo it. That is amazing. They're classic studio.
I want to know what it cost.
Oh, if you have to ask. You millions. Can't afford it.
Millions. Just had to be millions.
Yeah. Oh, it had to be millions because you're just handcrafting everything. They don't have a parts bin to say, oh, yeah, I've got the upholstery here.
This is a 1952 Ferrari, so parts are pretty hard to come by.
But kind of fun. Those two restorations split. I mean, you can't get more different cars, but bringing back the history.
You can't.
And we like to do that here on Cruise Control Radio. Hey, we appreciate you listening to our show. Don't forget we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Check out the podcast edition all there, Cruise Control Radio. Time for me to say, I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road. Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com for more information.